We all ask questions.
Are eyebrows considered facial hair?
I've always wondered, do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
If a number two pencil's so popular, why is it still number two?
Do bald people get dandruff?
Why are power outages reported on TV? That makes no sense.
But some questions are more meaningful than others.
How do I handle all the stress in my life?
How do I discover God's will for my life and live it out every day?
I have a hard time dealing with disappointment. What does the Bible say I should do?
How can I be the parent my kids need me to be and the one God wants me to be?
What does the Bible say about dealing with difficult people? Because I know some.
Are we actually living in the end times? What does that mean for me?
So we turn to the one who has all the answers. We'll examine some of our biggest questions and discover God's best plan. Why? Because you asked for it.
We had to debut that, it was debuted last week, but we had to show that again, that video of small groups. I don't think he's really Scottish, y'all, okay? I'm just letting you know. But just trying to keep it real. But really, launched last week, our small group semester. It's not too late to get involved with that. And phenomenal groups this semester, and encourage you to be a part of that. You can actually go online. We had a showcase last week, but you can actually go online to find out more about that. We have a directory on there that you can go, and you can even call the leaders and talk to them, have a conversation about them, and see if it's a group that you feel comfortable in connecting with. And so you have the right to choose a small group. Come on, everybody give it up for Matt over here, right? You clean up real good, man. You clean up real good. All right. Well, we're going to jump into part two of our series that we've entitled, You Asked For It. Why have we entitled it that? And the reason is that back at Easter, we did a survey. That's usually when we have a lot of people in the house at one time. And so we take the opportunity to ask some questions of things that you'd like to communicate to us. And so we just ask you, what topics would you like to hear about from the Bible? And so actually this is very biblical, because the disciples oftentimes would ask questions and Jesus would answer their questions based on what their concerns were, and so that they would kind of set the topic. And so we've done some surveying, and so we're doing a series based on that. Last week, part one, we talked about the answer to the question, are we living in the last days? And the Bible actually has a lot to say about the topic of the last days, but one thing it doesn't answer when, but instead it speaks to how we should live, knowing that that day is coming. And so that's what really matters, is what we do with the days that we do have. And so that message is actually online on our website. It's crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can go on there. You can listen to that. Also, the notes are on there as well that you can take notes with. Speaking of that, we do have notes that are also in your worship guide as well. And so we have a lot of fill-in-the-blanks there that you can follow along with us as we go through this. So today, again, based upon your responses, and I got a lot of these, and that is, the title of this message is, Help Me, I'm Stressed. I said to a couple people this week, I said, come. Hear me preach to myself this week. It's going to be, and I said, and then you can actually, those of you that know me real well, can say, practice what you preach. I think we all are guilty, myself included, of succumbing at times to this thing called stress. And so we're going to deal with it today and really see what the Bible has to say about this. And so just start right off and go to Scripture. Found in Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 24, that says this. It says, an intelligent person aims at wise action. An intelligent person aims at wise action. So they're focused in making their actions right. But a fool starts off in many directions. And so we got to ask ourselves, are we focused on a few things, or are we running around in many directions? And a lot of times those that accomplish a lot and have peace in their life are not trying to do it all and not doing very well at those things, but rather they're focused on a few things and they're concentrating on that. And so So we all deal with this thing called stress. So how do we deal with that? So we want to be intelligent. We don't want to be foolish. At times, life does overwhelm us. Life does catch up with us, and it gets to be very, very overwhelming. And it's always interesting to me because sometimes when you're going to be speaking on a topic, you find yourself convicted of that topic the week of, and you find yourself guilty of the very thing. I heard one pastor say that inevitably, whenever he does a series on marriage, him and his wife are really having a tough time. And he says, nothing like getting up speaking on marriage when your wife's not speaking to you. And so, but with me, with this one, it was a thing of man, this past week and last couple weeks, I have been so stressed out. And so this may be a little self-therapeutic here today, but there's times when we don't know how to deal with those, with different issues that come our way. And so we look to the Word for our answers. I know that for me, actually one morning, I remember recently, just to take a moment here to make it just a little confession time. I had an evening where I woke up, my heart was pounding just out of my chest. I went to work the next day, very, very weak. I work a secular job during the week like you guys, that many of you work. And I was just weakened, and I actually had some people that actually for several days have said to me, what's going on with you? You look a little different, something, you know, what's happening? Had one guy say, you know, I notice you're walking around with your mouth open like you're breathing hard, like you can hardly breathe. I had another group of people say, you need to go see a doctor. So just to let you know, I'm making right steps. Thursday, I'm going to go have a physical done. But we're going to get real practical with this morning. Just get real honest, real real with each other, and look at really what this means. Because honestly, there are times for all of us. I know I'm not alone in this. There are times when stress just builds up. It can be something very negative that causes that. It can be something very positive that can also result in stress. I remember studying, there's distress. That's from a negative source of stressors. And then there's eustress, which is you may have had even a promotion, something great happened, a move or something in your life where you move somewhere, but yet it still produces some stress in your life. And so the point of this is that there are times that whatever source of stress comes from, it may be work-related, it may be school, it may be going back and having a lot of challenges. Some of you may be carrying a heavy load. I remember talking to a student recently from UNC Charlotte that they're taking 18 hours. And I said, I remember doing that one time. I dropped a few of them as I went on into the semester. But, you know, and at the end of the semester, there's stress that builds up with exams. And sometimes it's health related or financially related. But there are demands that happen. And oftentimes in the midst of this, there are red flags that come up and give us warning. And so, and it's saying to us that we're stressed to the limit. And what does it look like when we get stressed like that? And just so we can identify some of those red flags, I've listed a few here for you. You could fill these in. Number one is that we see that my resistance is low. My resistance is low. And we make our worst decisions when we are tired. We actually make our best decisions when we are rested. And so when we're weary, our resistance is low. Luke chapter 21 actually parallels Matthew chapter 24. And we spoke about Matthew 24 when Jesus was talking about how it would be in the end times. Luke parallels that, if you want to go and read that one as well regarding the end times. But there's a verse in Luke chapter 21 that's not in the record of Matthew chapter 24 that says this. It says, be careful. Jesus says, be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. I've heard it said that this age is an age of anxiety. And that day that's coming will close on you suddenly like a trap. Everything just begins to close in on you. And so your resistance is low. Second thing is my emotions are inconsistent. And so we find ourselves asking the question, why am I so easily angered? You know, why am I flying off the handle? That's not me. And so we realize our emotions are inconsistent. And not only do we notice it, but the bad part is other people begin to notice that as well. And it's the symptom of being in a very hurried pace. Job says this. He says, my days go by faster than a runner They fly away without seeing any joy. So we're just rushing through life and we don't even find the joy of living. It actually robs our joy, and it's so easy for us to get mad. Maybe you're in the car and you have road rage, as they call it, and you're thinking, that's out of character. It's a red flag. Number three, and that is that my productivity suffers. My productivity suffers. And so you think you're working harder and you're getting more done because you're working harder, but actually you're getting less done. It's the principle of the axe, of taking time to sharpen the axe. And instead of saying, well, I don't have time to sharpen the axe, I got a tree to cut down. And so you're hitting the thing 50 times, wearing yourself out with a dull blade. And if you take your time to sharpen the blade, you might be able to, with one swing, accomplish more than you could with 50 blows. And so there's this principle of that. And it's the same principle with tithing. And it doesn't make sense. I don't understand how I could do better with 90% than I could with 100%. But it's a spiritual concept, and we miss that. And so the productivity suffers. Proverbs chapter 21 says this: careful planning puts you ahead in the long run. Hurry and scurry puts you further behind. And I have marked some people that get more done are the people that are very calm and cool and collective, and it seems like they're not doing much, but I turn around and they've gotten so much accomplished, where the person that runs around like a chicken with her head cut off. I don't know what that means, y'all. It's just a phrase I grew up with, all right? Like a chicken with her head cut off, runs around accomplishing very little. And so we need to look at that. And also Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 2 says, a person in a hurry makes mistakes, right? Don't you know, right? To hurry, rush makes waste. And so my productivity suffers. Number four, my life loses meaning. Here's another point. My life loses meaning. And so the further you get, it means that you're getting further away from your purpose. When you're stressed, you're just overwhelmed. And so your purpose, you lose that. And so it's more important to make sure that you're doing what you're purposes, and everybody's got a purpose, what you're designed to do, rather than trying to do a lot of things. It's better to do a few things well. And let me put it this way: you're not good at everything, and nor should you be good at everything and involved in everything, but God has a sweet spot for you where your life will work. Psalm chapter 39 says this: we are merely moving shadows, and all our busy rushing ends in nothing. And so that's why you need to discover, what is it I'm supposed to be doing with my life? Not only does it tell you what you're supposed to be doing, it will also tell you what you're not supposed to be doing. And so God has a purpose for your life. That's why we have this thing called the growth track that we have every Sunday, that we roll every Sunday. The purpose of that is to help you discover your purpose and help you get involved in that, where life is not, I got to get up and go do this, but instead I get to do this because this is my calling and this is my purpose. It changes everything. And so we have that available even today, Essentials 201. I encourage you to get in that and get involved with that. Look at number five. Another red flag is my relationship with God seems distant. It means that when you pray, it's like there's a ceiling there. And let me underline this word seems. It seems that God is distant, but God is not distant. It's just that there are so many voices vying for our attention, and we don't hear God because we got so much swirling around in our head. And so we need to be still. Actually, Psalm 46 tells us this: be still and know that I am God. Ecclesiastes puts it this way, and I love this: it is better to have only a little with peace of mind than be busy all the time. Isn't that beautiful, right? And so we all know this, and the problem is not with knowing. We know the truth, and most of us say, well, you haven't told me anything that I don't already know. But truth in of itself, unapplied, doesn't help, so we need application. It's a matter of doing it. And so get this point, and that is that the distance between the truth I know and the truth I live equals the pain I experience. And so there's a gap there. between what we know we should be doing and what we should and doing it. What we know and the actual living it out. And the closer we can bring that gap, the more peace that we're going to experience and the less stress that we're going to have. So what can we do? So God doesn't have a lot on this in the Bible when you look at stress. There's not a whole long litany of stuff that you got to do to relieve stress. There's a lot of good things we can talk about, but really there's a principle, a single principle that stands out on this that's very, very powerful that God reiterates over and over again. And it's this. It's very simple. And you can write this down. It's not in your notes, but just write this simple phrase down. We're going to give a scripture for this, but it's keep the Sabbath day holy. Keep the Sabbath day holy. And that is God's plan for burnout. His plan for less stress in your life. I was thinking about this. You know, if we don't eat, we know that we're going to get weak and we're not going to be physically up to par where we need to be. If we don't sleep, we know that we're not going to be very strong the next day with a lack of sleep. Well, God has put a principle of rest in our week, and our days are not going to be what they should be unless we observe this thing that God has put in our life for us. He made us, and He knows how all this is supposed to work. And so, it is God's plan for burnout. His plan for less stress in your life. I think about the late, great Truett Cathy, who was told, no, for your business, you need to make sure that you stay open on Sunday because you won't be able to make as much money. But Truett Cathy, the guy who founded Chick-fil-A, decided he was going to live his life by principle instead of pressure. In fact, he said he wanted to be known as somebody that lived by putting God as priority number one in his life. And so so they don't open on Sunday. I know it's terrible. We can't go to Chick-fil-A today. I know it's awful. But, you know, I think that they've done pretty well closing on Sundays. And I can just say to us today that we'll do pretty well if we would take time to rest as God put that principle in place, this principle of rest in our life. And so here's the thing. It says keep the Sabbath day. And so it's not just a service. Let me be clear about that. The Sabbath is not just about church service. It's more than that. It's good to come, and we need to come to church to worship Him. We're going to talk about that. But it's more than that. It is actually very holy. It says, keep the Sabbath holy. It's holy, and there's something supernatural. There's something special about this thing that God put in our life called rest. It's not wasting time. Some of us are so work-oriented that we think if we take time to rest, then I'm wasting time. No, it's actually going to make you more productive when you do this thing called rest. You say, well, you're just teaching an Old Testament principle. Well, actually, the New Testament has something to say about it in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9 says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from His. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest. And so I want us to look at this. The Jewish people believe that every time you Sabbath, now get this, I want you to really get this real strong. Jewish people believe that every time you Sabbath, you declare to God that more gets done when I don't do everything that I know how to do. Because my strength doesn't come from my intellect, my job, my career, my skill set. It comes from the strength you give me. And so it is that I'm going to honor you and knowing that my help comes from you. So really, it's an acknowledgement. Because here's what happens, folks. That if we just bulldoze through that day, and we think, no, it depends on me. I got to get this done. And a lot of us are that way. We think, well, it's dependent. I've got to get this thing. I got to get this accomplished. I got to get this done. And so we say, God, it's up to me. But here's what the Sabbath does. The Sabbath is simply saying, God, I know it's not up to me. It's not up to my pushing this through. It's not all on me because I'm not the one that's going to. It's you, God. It's acknowledging that He is our everything. And so, and everything you don't do it, listen, if you don't do this, you're communicating to God that actually it happens because of me. When you don't do this, every time you don't do that, you don't honor the Sabbath, it communicates that God, it actually depends upon me. It's up to me, God. It's not up to you, it's up to me. And that's something that you don't want to communicate to God. So God is modeling it for us. Here's the thing. He created the world in 6 days, the Bible says, and then he rested on the Sabbath. So what does it look like when we do it? Let me get real practical with this, everybody, all right? So on the Sabbath day, here's what you should do. Yes, come to Cross Point and worship God, right? Come to church, worship God. Honor him and worship him. You're saying to God, God, I've got a week ahead of me, but the first thing I'm going to do on this first day of the week is I'm going to honor you. I've got stuff that I've got to do Monday through Saturday for this upcoming week, and I'm not able on my own to pull it all off. So, God, I'm coming, and I'm honoring you, and I'm saying, God, I need you in my week. I need you first and foremost above everything that I'm doing. And so we're acknowledging when we come to church and we worship him, we're singing, holy, holy, holy. Lord God, you are holy. We're acknowledging you. You are our help. Our help comes from the Lord. We sung it a moment ago that you're the source of my help. You are the source of my strength. And so we're acknowledging that as we come to worship. But then what do we do with the rest of the day? I want to give you some points on this. What do we do then? First of all, write this down. I will rest my body. I will rest my body. This is real practical. I will rest my body. So here's what you do. After church today, you go home. It's going to be real spiritual. You ready? Take a nap. Amen. Take a nap. And after you've taken a nap, you get up. For those of you that are married, you get the hand of your wife. And you take her on a walk. That's after you pick her up off the floor give her your hand and you say, look, this is my hand. You haven't seen this in 42 years, but here, put it right here. Come on, it fits perfectly. Isn't that great? And you take a walk and you relax. And then you come home. A little bit later, you order a pizza and you relax. I got a good amen on that one. Actually, that's my Sunday night tradition. We order a pizza. We sit down and we watch something like Brainless, you know, something that doesn't take any thought. I say, are there any repeats of Duck Dynasty on or Storage Wars or something, you know, just kill an alligator. I don't know, whatever. I know some of you, I lost you, right? I'm sorry. And maybe I lost you on the pizza. You need something healthier. Whatever it is, relax and enjoy and rest your body. Psalm chapter 127 says this, in vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. And so God gives his, one scripture says, he gives his beloved sleep. I love that. He wants you to rest. And he didn't make you where you go all the time. Some of you, I know, are into technology. They now have these wristbands, these Fitbit bands that are activity trackers where you can track how much you rest and how many steps you take during the day, and you can even monitor your heart rate. I think that's great. We actually, my wife and I are on My Fitness Pal. It's an app. Anybody familiar with My Fitness Pal? Now, me and Fitness Pal, we were pals for a while, and then we stopped being pals. And now I'm trying to pal up again because my wife's on it this time around, and she's trying to say water, not Coke, you know. And so, but you know. And it tells you how many steps you take and how much sugar you're taking, how many calories I'm preaching to myself this morning. I hope you all are enjoying the message. This is all just for me. But anyhow, I mean, are you sleeping enough? Let me ask you as your pastor, are you getting enough rest? All right, I'm seeing a bunch of this out here right now. Hey, are we getting enough rest? Are we sleeping? I had one member actually from another country that told me that his pastor back in his country told him, the body doesn't need that much rest. And he got very little rest. And he said, I'm fine. I do not need that much rest. And I wanted to say to this guy, in fact, I tried to say to this guy, oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. Because his personality was dull. He was like a walking zombie all the time. He was not very sharp and effective. And I'm thinking, look, dude, I mean, God gave us the day right? To get things done. And why do you think he gave us night? For rest, right? Okay, so get some rest. Slow down. I'm just your pastor, and my goal here is to help you lie down in green pastures, right? Beside still waters where your soul can be restored. So we need to slow down. And so God wants to give us rest today. I'm just trying to narrow the gap between truth that we know and the truth that we live. A second thing that we need to do, and that is, I will replenish my soul. We need to say, I will replenish my soul. And so we're talking about emotions. And oftentimes our emotions are not in good condition. That's why we get mad easily. And we say, that's not me, but that's a red flag. It's a red flag. It's like a numb arm or a shortness of breath. It's a warning sign that you've violated a principle and you need to narrow that gap. I want to give you actually three little ways here of how you can actually do that, break this down into three ways of how to replenish your soul. And that is number one, with quietness. We need solitude. I would encourage you twice a day, start your day thinking, praying, in devotions with God. Be still. I would encourage you every day, at the end of every day, reflect, ask some questions. This is what I do. Did I take care of my family today? Did I take care of my church today? Did I make a difference today? And so we pray. Psalm 23 says this, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul, my emotions, my mind. So I encourage you, go sit down, turn some music on, and think. Read some scripture. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Talk to the Lord. Let Him talk to you. Let Him minister to you. Think through your week. Pray over it. Pray over the meetings that you've got coming up. Pray that God will, and just dedicate all that to God, right? So with quietness, another way that we replenish our soul, and that is not only with quietness, but with enjoyment. Enjoyment. Do something you enjoy. For some people, it's inside activities. For others, it's outside activities. Do something that you enjoy. Fun. Get away from it all. And I think the principle of the Sabbath is not necessarily the sixth day. I think it's just that the Lord is saying there needs to be a day of rest. For a lot of pastors, Sunday's really not a day of rest. It's a work day. For many pastors, it's Monday. I don't get that. Mine rotate. My secular job works. I have a rotating day off, and so it's one day out of the week, but it rotates. Every week's a different day. But take a day to rest and replenish. And so, I mean, and do this. Enjoy, as you're enjoying life, do this. I encourage you to do this. Eat food. Y'all came for something really spiritual today, didn't you? This is heavy duty. Eat food. I mean, because look, I want to show you this. This word stressed. You can rearrange this word stressed. And when you rearrange it, it spells something out. Anybody know what this is? Come on, let me show it to you. Dessert. Somebody already knew where I was going on this. Desserts. I mean, you know, I'm talking about being healthy, right? All right. But I mean, and have some laughter. Laughter. I believe church should have more laughter to it. I believe our lives should have more laughter to it. We take ourselves and life oftentimes too seriously, right? And you say, well, I don't know that Jesus was all that much into laughter. He was a somber person. And I know you get the picture of him with a little curveball going and the prune face kind of thing, you know, the artist draw. But don't tell me he wasn't a guy of laughter. He was a kid magnet. The kids were drawn to him. He was a guy going, woo-woo-woo. I mean, he had to be. Come on. He was fun. He was full of life. He had to be enjoying life, right? We need to be full of laughter. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 17, a cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. So I'm just giving you an application message, all right? Because 62% of Americans say they are in burnout right now. We need rest for our body. We need to replenish our soul with quietness and enjoyment, and also with people. To which you're thinking, no, that's the ones that are causing me the stress. I don't need the people. I need to be alone. But that, I would say then you're probably around the wrong people. And God has people that he wants to put in your life. Get this. This is a point that you really need to get today. He wants to put people in your life that will encourage you, that will pray for you, that will have your back, that will lift you up, that will strengthen you. And you're thinking, wow, sign me up for that. Okay, I'll tell you how. Small groups, right? Small groups. Get into a small group. And if you're not in one, listen, you need to be careful. You need to be concerned. In fact, it's foolish. I don't mean to be ugly, but it's foolish not to be in a small group, because you need to be in a small group. Instead of running around on your own, trying to figure it out, bumping into walls, going in 1,000 directions, you need to be in a small group that will pour life into you, that encourage you, and you can encourage them as well, and you're going to grow. We around here say that life change happens in the context of relationships. God moves into our life, but he uses people. We're built for relationship, right? Everybody getting this? We're built for relationships. The Bible says, pray for one another that you may be healed. We need relationships, good, healthy, strong relationships. In fact, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. All right? Number three. I will refocus my spirit. I will refocus my spirit. I want you to write that down, and then I want you just to be still for just a moment. No one moving around, because I want to pray over you. Blessing, really, right out of the Word. You don't even have to close your eyes for this. But I want to give you this last scripture that's found in Psalm 92, because really, within here is a prayer. And Psalm 92 says this. A psalm. It's a psalm, or it could be a song. Look at this. For the Sabbath day. It says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High. It's good to come worship the Lord. It's good to gather together on a Sunday and worship the Lord. To proclaim your love in the morning and your faithfulness at night. And look at this. What will happen when we do this? When we honor him, when we give him the Sabbath, when we worship him and we make him first. Look at this. You are my horn like that of a wild ox. And the horn is the strongest part. And so God's saying, I want to bless you. And I want to strengthen you supernaturally. And that's my prayer for you today. That as we observe this principle, that we'll be strengthened supernaturally. Mind, soul, spirit, our body, that will be strengthened in him. So he says, You have strengthened. You have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. Then he goes on to say, fine oils have been poured upon me. And oil speaks of anointing. And so there's a supernatural ability of wisdom. My prayer is for you that God will supernaturally anoint you, that this week, as you've come in this place and you've honored him and you've put him first, this week you'll have wisdom in your decisions and your appointments. You'll have God's favor. You'll have God's ability. You'll have God's know-how. That God will infuse you supernaturally with his anointing. It goes on to say, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. And I love palm trees. Listen, when everything else is dead, the palm tree is still standing in the desert doing well. And so when everything is falling apart around you and you don't know where to turn or what to do, in the midst of it all, God has you standing there strong. And I pray that God would cause you to flourish like a palm tree. Look what it goes on to say. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon, planted in the house of the Lord. We need to be planted. That's where growth happens. Planted in his house, planted, putting him first. And they will flourish in the courts of our God. And look what it then says. They will still bear fruit in old age. They will bear fruit. There's a supernatural longevity. and they will stay fresh and green. Amen, everybody? Would you bow your heads with me today? Father, I thank you for your word today. Help us to narrow the gap between what we know and what we live. The truth that we know and the truth that we live. Today, teach us just practically where we live, God. We're all in this thing. But teach us how to worship. Teach us how to rest. To take time with those that we love. To laugh. To eat. To enjoy life. You said that you've come that we might have life and life to the fullest. We may live life to the fullest. God, today help us to completely follow you, to surrender our all to you, to follow this principle of rest that you've put in place because you love us. You love us. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that just settles us. And I just pray for healing today. I pray for healing of bodies, of minds, of spirit, God. Heal our emotions, Lord. For many of us, we've just been running on empty and on fumes. And I pray the replenishing Spirit of the living God would come in and renew our minds, renew our spirits, strengthen our bodies, supernaturally. Lord, oftentimes we're in the shape we're in because it's our own fault. We're not following you. Teach us to follow you today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here today and you know that your life is not what it should be. And you're not in the place spiritually where you need to be. It may be that you have once been in a relationship with God, but you've taken things back in your own hands and it's not working. Your life is filled with stress and disorder. It may be that you've never really ever surrendered your life to the Lord. You've been doing it all on your own, trying to run the ship yourself. And God wants to step in and be the captain of that and guide your life. And he's offering to do that. When we're in charge, the sea's roaring and tossing and turning, but when he steps on the scene, he's able to say, "Peace, be still," in the midst of it all. If you're here today and you say, "That's me, I need peace in my life, and furthermore, I need Jesus in my life," I'd like to pray a prayer with you, lead you in a simple prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you. My heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I simply want to pray a prayer right where you're sitting with you. I just want to help lead you in the prayer. But if that's you today, and you're saying, "Today, I need to make a decision for Jesus," I want you to do this. I want you to lift up your hand very quickly, and then you can put it right back down. God bless you today. So proud of you. Anyone else? God bless you today. Hands are going up. Decisions are being made right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Say, "Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you count me in that?" Just lift up a hand and put it right back down. God bless you today. All right, let's pray. Would you just, right where you're seated, those that need to pray this prayer, maybe you didn't even lift a hand, but you're saying in your heart, "I know I need to pray this." Just in your heart, right there between you and the Lord, would you just breathe this prayer to him? Just say something like this: "Lord Jesus, today I surrender my life. I give you control over every area of my life. Forgive me for trying to go my own way. By faith, I accept that you are the better way, and you're my only way. I thank you for giving me the way out of my dilemma. I thank you for forgiving me for my past, forgiving me of my sins, for paying for it all when you died on the cross for me. Through your chastisement, through your stripes, I'm healed, and my peace has been purchased through you. I accept that today. I accept you as Lord of my life. Thank you for coming in and making me a brand new person on the inside. And I will follow you with all my heart as you enable me, God.